to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. My subject tonight, stay on the wheel. David, I'm getting a little feedback up here. I preached a message this morning on the land of much, and the key word that Jesus used then was to abide, and that was used to teach us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. He said, I want you to stay connected, or I want you to abide in a true vine. And that's how you get to the land of much. You stay connected and you abide no matter what comes your way. But I want to do a sequel to this, that message tonight. Stay on the wheel. Jeremiah went down to the prophet, to the potter's house, and there he saw a wheel that was going around and around and around, and that wheel wasn't getting anywhere. It was just going around in circles. I want you to go with me tonight to the potter's house because there's some valuable lessons that we can glean from our visit to the potter's house. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. My subject, stay on the wheel. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. Lord, you sit in a great house. They are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but some of wood and some of clay. If a vessel will purge himself from the things of dishonor, you said they are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. If they will purge themselves from the things of dishonor, they shall be a vessel unto God, prepared and meet for the master's use. Lord, I pray that you will prepare us to live that life where we go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit, and help us to stay connected to you no matter what the storms of life bring. Bless your people. Seat us together in heavenly places. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. We are what we are by the mercy of God. I spoke yesterday at a place and I said, this has always helped me. Don't be what you ain't, just be what you is. Because if you is not what you am not what you is. If you're a little tadpole, don't try to be the frog. And if you're a little tail, don't try to wag the dog. You can always pass the plate if you can't exhort and preach. If you're a little pebble, don't try to be the beach. Don't be what you ain't, just be what you is. Because if you is not what you am, then you am not what you is. And whatever you are, you need to be the best you that you can be. God does not expect any more out of you than he will bring forth out of you. But God will bring forth his glory out of you. But we are what we are by the mercy of God. God took some clay from the ground. He formed man from the dust of the earth. So God is qualified to mold us. God is qualified to make us into what he has purposed for our lives. He's the potter, and we're to be that clay in his hands. God is qualified, amen, to make us into what he wants us to be. And he does that once we're saved by putting us on the potter's wheel. God wanted Jeremiah to have an object lesson. And so he took him down and showed him that potter working there, showed him the clay in his hands, and showed the wheel as it was spinning around and around. God can take nothing, just like an old piece of clay, that's you and me, and he can make something beautiful out of our lives. God is qualified to mold us. He is qualified to make us in what he wants us to be, because God created man and he made us to begin with. Amen. And I like what he told Jeremiah. He said, I want you to go down to the potter's house and I will cause you to hear my words. So many times we need a word from God. We need just a, in the storms of life, we need God to speak something. So many people, they're locked in their past and they cannot go on into their future. They're just held captive by chains of the past. You can have a painful past, or you can have a powerful past. But don't get locked in your past. God is the God of now. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is saying it so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. And God never created man to stay in the low places. He never created man to be depressed. He never created man to be discouraged. God is a lifter. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. And since he lifted me, praise God, I've been up. I've faced the storms. I've faced the battle. I've had heartaches. I've had sorrows. But I've stayed connected. I've stayed on the wheel. And the whole time God has been molding me and shaping me. And that's the same thing he does to you because he's the potter and he's the clay. Some people just don't want the process. They don't want the process of going from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. And they reject the very thing that will take them into what God has purposed for their life. Go on, praise God that you're on the potter's wheel tonight. Hallelujah. God is qualified to mold us. And I like what he told Jeremiah. See, he said, I want you to hear my words. And sometimes we listen to what God says and sometimes we don't. I mean, some people, they can come to church and hear a hot message anointed by the Holy Ghost and everything is just flowing like a river and they go out and begin to run everything down. Some people hear about forgetting the things behind and reaching forth to the things which are before and they stay connected to their past. They cannot go on. God says, I want you to go on. I want you to press toward the mark for the high calling of God. Life is made to enjoy. There's a real devil. He's a discourager. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What do you want? The more abundant life? Do you want to stay on the wheel? Do you want to get molded into what God has purposed for your life? Do you want to be a blessing to others? Then stay with me and stay on the wheel. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. So many times God speaks to his people, but they don't hear. Even Jesus faced that problem. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. See, God wants to teach us through his word. But if we won't listen, God says, I have some other ways and I'll cause you to listen. He told Jeremiah, look at that potter. Look at that clay in the potter's hand. So are my people in my hands. Now, question, how many of you want to be used of God? If you want to be used of God, I want to see your hand. If you got a hand, then wave it at me. I wave mine at you. I want to be used of God. Well, if you're going to be used of God, then I need to warn you because God is going to take you through a process to get you there. Everything that happens to you is not the devil. Every bad thing that happens to you is not the devil. Sometimes we cause our own problems and God has to put us back on the wheel and he has to work on us and he has to whack us here and whack us there so we can go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit because that's what God has purposed in our life. Remember that message this morning? Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Well, the first thing God is going to do is this. He's going to put you on the wheel. Number one, the wheel teaches us that God works in circles. Do you see that wheel right there? I remember that wheel. Teresa should remember that wheel. My daughter Jessica should remember that wheel because she was riding one of those things one day and her mother said, quit doing it. Quit jumping off. She's just a little thing. And she just kept disobeying her mother. She'd put her back on the wheel and she'd keep jumping off, but she put her back on the wheel. And finally, she jumped off and when she did, she hurt her leg. And she walked with a limp. Some people just won't listen. Amen. And so I carried her to my pastor. I follow authority. Find divine order. Get it in your life. Get it in your home. Get it in everything you do. There's an order to God's structure. And I had my pastor pray. She still walked with a limp. I carried her to my daddy. I said, that's your seed. That's your granddaughter. Pray for that child. He's a man of God. She still limped. I had people in the church pray for her. She still limped. And I was preaching revivals at the time. I went home one evening after work, and my revival was over, and I carried out in the backyard. And you've heard my story. I laid my hand on her. I said, be healed. Run in Jesus' name. And she went running across there, limping on that leg like that. She come back to me. I said, be healed. Run again in Jesus' name. And she went running across the backyard with her hands up, praising the Lord, limping like that. She come back to me, and the Holy Ghost come on me. I said, be healed. Come out of her, you devil, in Jesus' name. You foul spirit of limp, come out of her. Be healed. Run again, sweetheart. And she took off running, and I spoke in tongues and threw my hand like that. And the power of God, I saw it go through there. I hit that leg, and she was running free. Hallelujah. I carried her in the house. Teresa said, Jerry, she's not limping anymore. I said, that's right. God just healed her. That wheel reminded me of that story. That's the type of wheel she was on. Thank you, David, for that illustration. But God takes us and puts us on a wheel. And the wheel represents how God works, and God works in circles. He wants you to go from the promise to the fulfillment of the prophecy that's been spoken over your life. Do you have a promise from God? Do you have a word from God? But God will take you from a place, through a place, to a place. That's a process. From a place, through a place, to a place. And that's how God works. And sometimes it seems like we're just running around and around in circles. And when Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, he saw a wheel going around and around and around. And it wasn't getting anywhere. It was just going around in circles. And before God can use you, he's going to place you in that cycle of just going around and around and around. Because God never takes you from a place to a place without taking you through a place. And God does that with a purpose, because God wants to mold you and make you and shape me into what he wants us to be, that vessel of honor that develops fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And that's how God works. And it's not always exciting either. Oh, hallelujah. See, Israel marched around the same mountain for 40 years. I mean, they went in circles for 40 long years. But God was killing that old Egyptian flesh while they were going around in circles. He was whacking them here and he was whacking them there. He was cutting this flesh off and cutting that off and cutting other things to take them from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Have you ever felt like you were marching around the same old mountain? You've been around it so many times you could give a tour guide. You've been around it so many times you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You know that God promised you something, but you're not getting anywhere when it comes to obtaining that promise that God has given you. I'm here to tell you tonight that is part of the process. That is part of the process that God takes us through. You don't go from prophecy to fulfillment or that prophecy without going on the wheel, which represents God's circle. And if you don't understand the wheel, and if you don't understand the process, you will be just as frustrated as a termite on a yo-yo. God will take you around and around and around. So many times it seems like you're not getting anywhere. I talk to people like this all the time. They wonder, what's wrong in my life? What have I done wrong? You've done nothing wrong. If you're staying in the vine, abiding there, you're just going through the same thing over and over again, because God is taking you through a process to mold you into the vessel he wants you to be. You're doing the same old thing, and you feel like, well, I'm getting nowhere. Pastor, I'm praying. I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm reading my Bible, but I'm not getting anywhere. Well, Pastor, I prayed for this, but it just didn't happen. The preacher told me that if I would pray and believe, I would get a miracle from God, and I'd get out of this crisis. But nothing's happening, Pastor. I'm just going around and around and around. Something is happening. See, you're on the wheel, and God is molding you, and God is shaping you. And we don't like that process. Nobody likes the process of God whacking some things off. And you thought it was everybody else, but But God said, no, it's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. And that points right back at me. He said, there's some things in your life that I've got to deal with, and I got you on my wheel. Because what I have purposed for your life is so much greater than what you're doing now. I've got to take you through the process. When you get that, my friend, you're on God's wheel. And you need to develop a consistency, a sameness, whether you're flying high or whether you're in a crisis. No matter what you're facing, just stay on the wheel. Abide in Christ and stay connected. Hallelujah. Most people want miracles. They want mountaintop experiences, and they want them right now. But most of our walk with God is routine. It's not all about spiritual highs and mountaintop experiences. I love it when it comes. Nobody loves that more than me. I've seen God do some wonderful things in my ministry. But you can't live there all the time. Nobody can live there all the time. Peter, he had that problem when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Moses, the greater of the lawgivers. And he saw Elijah, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And he saw Jesus transfigured. And he saw the glory of God. And he wanted to build three tabernacles and stay up there on the mountaintop. But God wanted him to see Jesus. God wanted him to get a revelation of who Jesus was. And he wanted him to go down and walk among suffering humanity and carry his power, his anointing, and his glory out to people. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Most people don't spend enough time in this book. I need to read it more. I'm ahead in my Bible reading, but I remember this movie just come to me, The Call of the Wild. And this wolf, they trained him as a dog, but he felt the call to go back to the wild. Well, I have a call, but it's not to be wild. I have a call to be holy. And I hear a voice calling me. I hear that voice calling me all the time. Spend time with me. Get back to my word. Get back to prayer. Get back. Get your mind back on me. And I know it's the Holy Ghost. It's God calling me because God's got me on the wheel. And God's trying to work something in my life. And God's trying to work something in the church's life. But most people don't want to be on God's wheel. They don't understand that God has them there to prepare them for something greater. You cannot do great things until you've been faithful in small things. Amen. Just stick with it. Stay with the process. Hallelujah. See, most of our walk with God is routine. And I could write a book about the miracles I've seen God do. I could. I love those mountaintop experiences. I've seen the glory of God. I wish I had written all the miracles down. Because I've got so many of them. I got some stories to tell about what I've seen God do. But I know it's not me. I remember when all I could do is get up and do my best to preach. And I was so tired at the end of it. And I saw God do miracle after miracle after miracle. I saw people saved. I saw people healed. I saw people delivered. And some people... I saw one man when my neck was killing me, Brother Joey Tedder, come into the church. He and his wife said, we ain't had any rest in 3 days. And the Spirit of God come over me. I said, God will heal you now. And I reached out and touched him. The power of God hit me. He said, it's gone. He was healed instantly. They went out to church rejoicing. And I got this problem. They didn't know it. I was seeing a chiropractor. My neck, I could hardly turn that thing. But look at me now. Hallelujah. The devil said, well, God healed him. What about you? I said, what about me, devil? I said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And God healed me. But see, what I learned in that process, it was not about me. It was not about my preaching. It was about me being obedient to God and doing what God had called me to do. And if I do what God called me to do, then God would do what God said he would do. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. If you'll do what God called you to do, God will do what God said he will do. But most of your walk will be routine. Most of my walk with God is just everyday living. And that's what the wheel teaches us. It teaches us how to live a good Christian life so our lights can shine and others can see our Father's good works in us, and we'll bring glory to God. Amen. See, the wheel teaches you to believe God through a no. The world has told you, no, you cannot succeed. The devil will tell you, no, you cannot reach that dream. The flesh will tell you, no, you cannot overcome that habit. You cannot overcome that temptation. But the real deal is this. Do you have enough stubborn, relentless, persistent faith to believe God through a no? Hallelujah. And that's where most people lose it, and that's why most people don't last. They lose their passion, and they lose their desire for God because of a no. They get in a drift. They lose the excitement of their intimacy with God. They lose the excitement of knowing him better. Hallelujah. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, been made conformable unto his death, lest by any means I should obtain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul had a quest. It was to know Jesus. And I believe every true born again Christian ought to have that quest to know him better and to have that intimate relationship. Some people, they have to have something high and exciting all the time. But the wheel teaches us that God works in circles. Number two, the wheel teaches us the power of the routine. The power of the routine. A constant, intimate, consistent walk with God. That's what the wheel teaches you and me. Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house. And God said, as that clay is in the potter's hand, so are my people in my hands. And God is molding each of us and shaping us. And there are storms in this life. But my Bible says the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That means that whatever I go through, that God is in control. That my Father, my life is hid with Christ in God. And Father is working all things to my good. Put Romans 8:28 up there. I shared that this morning as a law, Romans 8:28. For we know. Well, Paul said, we know this. He said, no matter what I face, I just come to know something. I mean, this man had been shipwrecked, had been beaten with rods, had been on his feet 3 times, break every bone in your foot. He'd been beaten with stripes 39 times. On his back 5 times they did that to him. He'd been shipwrecked, had been with in seasons of fasting, he'd been in seasons of plenty, he'd been in seasons of lack. He'd been despised of his brethren, despised of people outside the church. I mean, this man had gone through something, yet he said, we know. Woo! That's what the wheel will do. It will teach you if you'll allow God to teach you. He said, and we know that all things, not just some things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I told God when I was a young Christian, I said, it don't make a bit of sense to me. I said, everything that's working in my life is not working for my good. And God spoke back to me. And if you get an NIV version, it says, as I didn't know what the NIV version was at the time. It says, in everything we go through, we know that God is able to work it to our good. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the heartache, no matter what the loss, no matter what the sorrow, no matter what the trouble, no matter what comes your way, God is able to work that to your good. It's like the druggist. He takes some medicines and he mixes them up and there's some poison in there. And he mixes it with all the other things, crushes it, puts it in a little pill and hands it to you. And all those things are working together for your good. And guess what? You get healed through the medication and the power of God. Hallelujah. So God is working all things to our good. Amen. If you will stay on the wheel, the promise will show up. Abide in the vine. Stay connected. The Bible says Daniel prayed every day. Think about this man. Think about what I'm saying. Daniel got in a crisis, and a law was passed from the king that if you don't bow down, then you're going to burn. But Daniel didn't pray anymore when he was in that crisis than he did when he was at ease. He got on the wheel. And he just developed a consistent prayer life. And that's what God wants out of you and me. And that's the purpose of the wheel. That's the purpose of God giving that object lesson to Jeremiah. And that's what we need to to understand that we need to live by a consistency in our life. Hallelujah. We need to develop our prayer life every day. We need to read our Bibles every day. We don't just pray when we get in a crisis. We don't just read the Bible when stuff starts drying up and you get laid off. You don't just start being faithful to God when everything's not going right. Some people do. But if you will ever get on the wheel and develop a sameness, a routine, and decide, I'm going to read my Bible anyway. I'm going to pray every day anyway. Hallelujah. I'm going to church on Wednesday. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to church on Sunday night. Not because I found a spot on the X-ray, but because I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I love his church. I love his people. Oh, I preached it this morning. Some of you people need to go back and get that. God said, I'll give you prophets and I'll give you preachers according to my desire. And then he says, I'm going to cause you to draw from the cluster. He said, the wine is in the cluster in Isaiah. We say it's in the bottle. He said, no, it's in the cluster. Stay connected to the true vine and stay connected to the church, to the cluster. Don't run your preacher down. Your blessing's connected to him. Don't run one another down in the church. Don't gossip about other people and say things. Your blessing is connected to them. Don't run the people down in your family. Your blessing is connected to them. There's a sameness in the cluster. And we're the body of Christ, and we're to pray for one another. We're to help one another. We're to encourage one another. We're to pray for one another. We're to lift one another. We're to exhort one another to holiness because we're connected, and our blessings are connected to the cluster. Hallelujah. And we just stay on the wheel. Praise God, then everything will work out. I love Jesus. I love his church. And his word says, praise God in his sanctuary. The word says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David said, I was glad. And his word says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people, thank you for being here tonight. Some people, they come to church leaving. Some people, they leave church coming back. That's me. I like church. I love church. I'm so glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I need you. I need your presence. I need your love. I need your prayers. I need for you to accept me. And we need to accept one another and love one another and help one another. That's why the wine is in the cluster. Stay connected to the true vine, and you'll bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Hallelujah. Just stay on the wheel. Hallelujah. Now, the wheel teaches us that God works in circles. The wheel, secondly, teaches us the power of the routine. And thirdly, the wheel teaches us that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. Hallelujah. Look at this. Isaiah 40:31. I know in what it says in Isaiah 55 as the rain comes down from heaven, but I want to take you somewhere else. His ways are not our ways. Look at this. Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah said, and God spoke to him, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now watch the progression. They shall mount up with wings as eagles and fly high. Hallelujah. I love to fly. I mean, I love that. But now notice the progression. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now that's the very reverse of what we do in the natural. In the natural, we start out, we learn to walk, then we run, then we try to fly. But notice what Isaiah said. He said, when you got saved, you were flying like an eagle. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I just love this born-again experience. New Christians are so exciting. Hallelujah. And when you just first got saved, you want to go to church every time the church doors open. But after a while, you're going to come down, and then instead of flying, you'll be running. Then after a while, you hit a spot to where you're not flying high and you're not running anymore. You're not running wide open. You're just plodding along, walking by faith. You just walk by faith. You don't stop and sit down and do nothing. You just keep on walking. You know, they say idle hands are devil's workshop, and you better believe it. That's why the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they that serve the Lord, they shall renew their strength. But sometimes everything falls apart. A financial dilemma, a work problem, a family crisis, and everything is falling apart. And you're saved and you love the Lord, but nothing seems to be going right. See, there comes a time when you can't see God, you can't feel God, and it seems like God is nowhere around. But you're on the wheel, and you're doing everything that you know. See, if you ever get on the wheel and develop a consistent walk with God, even though you're not feeling anything, if you'll just walk through the thing, I promise you something, you will fly again. Put that verse back up there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're flying high. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do you see it? It's just the very opposite of what we do in the natural. We just start out flying. Oh, praise God, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, from my heart. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're running. Oh, I love to go to church. Hallelujah. We're going to have revival. Glory to God. And all of a sudden, we just hit another gear and we slow down and we're just walking along. Just everyday routine. And most people can't stick it out and stay connected there. But if you'll just stay connected and stay on the wheel, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I promise you, you will fly again. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God, because God is working. He's the potter, and we're the clay. See, I'm talking about maturity. I'm talking about growing up in God and having a consistent walk with God. So no matter what happens, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. Who cares? Love them anyway. Oh, you don't know what they said. Who cares? Love them anyway. Oh, I tell you what, I've had 1,000 times I could quit. I've had people run me down and it comes back to me. Oh, I didn't say anything. Yes, you did. It does come back. There's a thing called the grapevine. But see, what you've got to decide is this. I choose to love you. I choose to love people. They're on the wheel. And I'm on the wheel, and God's trying to work something out in me. God's trying to fix it so I can love them. God's going to fix my insides so my happiness is not in their head. My happiness is in Jesus because I'm on the wheel. And nobody, we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. See, that's some principles God is trying to teach us, but you got to stay on the wheel to learn those things. And the wheel teaches us that God works in circles. It teaches us the power of the routine, and it teaches us that God's ways are not our ways, and that it's not all about me. It really isn't. I'm just a servant. It's about me serving you and loving you. No matter what I'm going through. I see so many hurting people. God sent me to a church years ago to preach a sermon. I didn't want to go. I told a man, I said, I'm too busy. He said, God told me to have you come. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray about it. And God told you, God will have to tell me. And God told me, go. And I preached a sermon, Champions. Produce champions. And I preached about David at Ziklag, or at Adullam first, and how God sent him some misfits. Some people that had the DDDs, they were in distress, they were getting discontent, in distress, in debt, and discontent with life. They were some broken, fragmented people. And I preached that sermon. I left that night, and God told me. David was a champion of God, and David had an anointing, and he passed it on to the people. These became David's 600 mighty men that no one could stand against. And God told me, he said, I'm going to send you people like that. And I want you to take the anointing that I placed on your life, and I want you to love them. I want you to help them. And I want you to make champions out of them. Now, I learned a lesson that night that ministry is about loving people. It's not about how talented we are, the abilities we have. It's about, do I love you enough to go the extra mile? Do I love you enough to love you like Jesus loved you, to care for you, and have the compassion of the tender-hearted Savior? Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Do you want to go to the land of much? Then God is going to whack you and whack you and whack you until he forms Christ in you. And that's what the wheel is all about, and that's how he works with me. Hallelujah. The wheel teaches us God works in circles. It teaches us the power of the routine. The wheel teaches us that God's ways are not our ways. And fourthly, my last point, the wheel teaches us that if you mess up, God always has another vessel in mind. What a loving God. Look at Jeremiah 18 and 3. Jeremiah said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, the work. He wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. You need to have a good idea about yourself. You need to like yourself. You need to realize that Jesus Christ poured out his blood, and that he did that to save you, and that he is not against you. You're not under any condemnation. That God loves you, and that he is interested in forming you and fashioning you into the vessel that he has chosen to make you. Amen. They tell me that a potter, when he makes a vessel, he always has a second vessel in mind. They never took the clay when it was marred and threw it away, because they had a second vessel in mind. And they say that most potters will give that piece of clay three chances. But our potter, he gives us more than three chances. He'll give us all the chances we need. No matter how much we fail, no matter how short we come of the mark, if we'll just stay connected, if we'll just stay with the cluster, if we'll just stay in the church and not allow the devil to isolate us and get us all alone, we can find strength in the cluster. We can find love in the cluster. We can find the anointing in the cluster. We can find help in the cluster. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how he loved you and me. Oh, he's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful Savior. You may have been like I was when I was 37. I had wasted half of my life. You might have been all messed up because you did some crazy things. You didn't see it then, but you do now. And you know that you wasted so many years. I've often said this. I wish that when I was 20 that I had the wisdom that I have now. But I didn't know the word like I know now. I didn't know the master at all. I had a lot of things that I didn't know. But if I had had the wisdom at 20 that I have now, it would have kept me from making a lot of mistakes. But the good news is the potter does not throw you away, because the potter has a second vessel in mind. Hallelujah. You and I, no one can go back and undo our past. You can't fix all of that. No one can. It was Billy Graham that said, you cannot unscramble scrambled eggs. But aren't you glad that when God made you, that he had a second vessel in mind? Hallelujah. See, if God's hand is on you, and it is, if he's your potter, then God knows how to make you over and over and over again. See, life is not doing what you want to do. Life is doing what you ought to do. And the only way you can ever find that out is to search the pages of this book, to get connected to Jesus, to get connected to a good church, because the wine is in the cluster, and to stay connected, stay on his wheel, so he can take you from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Hallelujah. God knows what you need. And if you'll walk by faith, I promise you God will work with you while you walk. God is the potter, we're the clay. And if you'll get on the wheel and stay on the wheel, God will work it all to your good. And if you'll get on the wheel and stay on the wheel, I promise you this, God will take you to the land of much. Let us stand. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a Master. I encourage you, church, stay on the wheel. God has great things in store for you. I'd like for us to come to the altar and just spend some time with the Lord. Just come and worship him. And say, Lord, I'm thankful that you're working everything to my good. Even the bad and even the good. Even the high mountaintop experiences and even the valley experiences. You're working them to my good. You're forming me. And you're fashioning me into a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Because he first loved.